You are listening to BensTorah.com.
Meet and see human during the 9 days. Let's begin with the tour. The tour tells us a very important line as to the parameters of these halachas regarding meat and wine. Now, if I would ask you, what is the is this a din d'oraisa? Of course, you say no. If I were to say, is this a din d'rabbanan? You probably say yes. And I'd like to tell you that is not correct. It is not a din d'rabbanan. There's no issur d'rabbanan to eat meat during the 9 days. There's no issur d'rabbanan to drink wine during the 9 days. What is it? Look at the tour. Kasi Avi HaEzri, that's the Ra'avya, who was one of the early Ashkenazi Rishonim. Nohagu avosenu. That's what it is. It's not a takana d'rabbanan. There was no takana like there were other takanos after Churban HaBayis. There were many other takanos as a Zeichel LeMikdash, but not this. Not eating meat during the 9 days or Shavuot Shechal or whatever it is not a din. It's not a takana. It is a nahagu avosenu shalalirchotz. Here he's talking about washing, showering, Rosh Chodesh. V'yeshalein lekayim mishum alti tosh torasi mecha. Why do I have to listen to that minhag? Because this is a pasuk that tells us that we have to listen to minhagim. So there's no reason. There's no din d'rabbanan or takana d'rabbanan that obligates us to not eat meat. Or again, he's talking about introducing the ideas of meat. He's talking about washing. The mitzvah is to listen to our family minhagim, and this has been our minhag of our forefathers, says the tour. The tour tells us there were those Prusha, there were those very special people at a certain point in history, Shemis Anim, Mitzayim B'Tamuz Ve'elech. There were those who fasted for 3 weeks straight, right? Like Ramadan, just a week short of Ramadan, Lahavdil Alfi Havdalas. But this might be more reasonable. Yesh Misanim B'Basav Yayin. There were those who abstained from wine and from meat for 3 full weeks, not just for 9 days, as Ashkenazim are accustomed to, or not just Shavuot Shechal, but as Sfarim are accustomed to. Okay. Now, there's an interesting line in the Yerushalmi. If you go see it in the Yerushalmi, the Yerushalmi asks the following question. Ma be'yesh be'nehem ben yudzai b'tamuz l'tisha b'av? What is between the 17th of Tamuz and Tisha B'av? What's between the Shavuot of Tamuz and Tisha B'av? Meaning, what happened to them and why should we treat them differently? And the Yerushalmi says something very, it seems simple, but when you look at it a little deeper, it looks actually quite difficult to understand. Says the Yerushalmi, what's between Shavuot B'Tamuz and Tisha B'Av? Guess what? 21 days. There are 21 days from the time of the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, from the time that they broke through the city until the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. Now, it sounds obvious. Yeah, of course, there's 21 between 17th of Tamuz and the 19th of Av. You add the days together, you get 21. And what happened on the first day there was a destruction? What happened on the last day? What happened on the first day they broke through the walls? What happened on the last day they destroyed the Beis Hamikdash? But that's not really what the Yerushalmi is saying. The Yerushalmi is asking, why is there a significance to the 3 weeks between? If something happened on the 17th, so commemorate the 17th. If something else happened on the 9th of Av, so commemorate the 9th of Av. Why do you have to say that the bridge in between, the 21 days in between, also should be dealt with this minhag that we see, that people would fast, or people would not eat wine and drink wine and eat meat for all 21 days. Just say there's one day here, Shavuot Sabbath Tamuz, there's another day here of 21 of the Ninth of Av. Why does the 3 weeks in the middle have to be commemorated with Avelis? So that, the Prisha raises this question on the Bavli and says that this is what the Bavli is really trying to say. What the Bavli is really trying to say when it says what's between, you know, the Shavuot Sabbath Tamuz and the 21th of Av, and the Ninth of Av, by saying that there are 21 days, what Yerushalmi means to say is that there were 21 days that apparently were full of destruction. It wasn't 2 days on a you know, calendar. There's a blip here and another blip there. They happen to have a theme. No. There was a 3 week period. There was a continuous upheaval and destruction, and day after day after day, every day was worthy of another day of Avelis and another day of Avelis because stuff was happening. So it's not that there is Shavuot Sabbath Tamuz is a sad day. Tisha B'Av is a sad day. Okay, it's 3 weeks. It's not so far apart. Let's call them, you know, Ben Hametzaron. We'll call it the 3 weeks. We won't go to weddings. We won't dance. We won't listen to music. No, it's that every single day of these days that we're in right now were days of destruction. And therefore, the commemorations that we commemorate now is not just it happens to be between Shavuot Sabbath Tamuz and Tisha B'Av, but it's that these are days of destruction themselves until, of course, it reached its climax with the Churban Beis Hamikdash, obviously. Now, that's one suggestion that the Yerushalmi says. V'yeshamrim, look at this. You know what the 3 weeks are all about? Nothing to do with the Beis Hamikdash. Nothing to do with destruction that happened in Yerushalayim. V'yeshamrim, you know why we have 3 weeks of of either fasting or at least holding back from wine and meat. The three, I will not translate the word shvuim. I know you think it probably means weeks, but it does mean weeks. Shehis'ana Daniel. Daniel fasted for three shavuas. What does the shavua mean? Don't tell me week. Shavua in the Lashon of the Mishnah and in the Lashon of Tanakh means the following. As the Prisha clarifies, the Prisha is one of the first on the tour. Daniel fasted for 21 years. A shavua is a set of seven. Daniel fasted for 21 years. Shlosh shmitos shanim. Three shmitas worth of years. Shem esrim ve'echad shanim. Mishul churban beis hamikdash. Daniel fasted for 21 years. I assume it was after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Not positive if it was to preempt the Beis HaMikdash's destruction or is after the Churban HaBayis. I'm assuming it was after the Beis HaMikdash. Daniel fasted for 21 years. Excuse me, Hashem doesn't expect or the Chachamim don't anticipate that any of us should fast for 21 years like Daniel. Again, I'm assuming he ate at night. I don't think he just like didn't eat for 21 years straight, but that definitely would be a you know, very successful diet. If anyone's thinking of, like, you know, has problems dieting and nothing really works, so if you try the Daniel diet, I assure you, you'll get very slim. Certainly, maybe not very quickly, but at least over the course of 21 years, you'll definitely get very slim if you follow the Daniel diet. But clearly, he obviously ate, I don't know when, maybe at night, maybe whatever it is, I'm sure. But for 21 years, Daniel fasted. So we don't do that, but at least we commemorate 21 days of either, oh, you remember he said that there's a minute to fast? Maybe a fasting. Or even if we don't fast, at least we hold back from, we desist from meat and wines for 21 days. And that's connected to Daniel, who did exactly that. We're commemorating the 21 years of Daniel with these 21 days. So we now have two ways to look at the 3 weeks, maybe differently than we used to. Until this year, you thought the 3 weeks happened to be a time that's sandwiched between two sad days. And the Yerushalmi tells us no. Either that these 3 weeks are because every single day they were bad, 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 bad days every day. Today, Thursday, July 16th, 2020, whatever, I guess many years ago, today, July 16th, whatever today's date is in Tammuz, was a day of destruction. That's why we are commemorating it right now today. Or because of the other answer of Daniel. Now, let's move forward, and that's as far as background into the 3 weeks in general, but now let's get into the discussion that the Beis Yosef raises as far as not eating meat. Where does the meat thing come in? Kosel HaKolbo. Now, when we read it, it's going to seem very obvious. But in a minute, I'm going to show you it's absolutely not obvious, and it's a chiddush, and there are going to be people who argue on this. So when you read it, you'll see how obvious it, you think it is, but you'll be in for a surprise in just a moment. Kosel HaKolbo. The Kolbo, one of the Rishonim, right? Yesh nimnam, they're those who hold back. Miachilas basim yishenichnasav, from Rosh Chodesh Av, right? So that's the minhag of Ashkenazim. Lefi she'ein simcha ela bebasar. We know that Chachamim tell us that the Gemara in Kedush and the Gemara elsewhere that ein simcha ela bebasar, meat is the way men get happy. And when it's mishenichnasav, we know that phrase, right? What's that phrase, mishenichnasav? Right? It's the opposite of mishenichnasav, the marbin besimcha, mishenichnasav, mimatim besimcha. So mishenichnasav, mimatim besimcha. And what is simcha? Simcha is meat. So that means if you're supposed to minimize your meat, you're supposed to minimize your simcha during Av, that means you should minimize those things that generate simcha during Av. What's that single thing that generates more simcha for, at least for men, again, more than perhaps any other generator, impetus? Well, it's eating meat. So therefore, if you put two and two together, then mishnechem sam matim b'simcha and ein simcha b'baz, you put those two things together, and you come out understanding that you're not supposed to have meat from the beginning of Av. Accordingly, if the point is to not have the simcha when Av comes in, because you don't want to, you know, be overjoyed because it's mimatim b'simcha, accordingly, the following would come out. Afal pichein, ein lihimana mitav shel shnis bashel babasar. So if we are right in describing the iser of the 9 days, so it should come out that a tav shel shabasar, excuse me, should be permitted. What's a tav shel shabasar? Well, that's what I started with. A tav shel shabasar is the chicken soup without the chicken. Tav shel shabasar is the potatoes and the beans and the barley of the chalent. Says the Beis Yosef, that is mutter to eat during the 9 days. And he'll explain himself very clearly based on what we just said. What's the whole problem? The whole iser, the reason why we don't eat meat, says the Beis Yosef, the point is to be mitzar yourself, to leave out some simcha. So guess what? If you eat the chalent and you leave out the meat, oh my gosh, if you come to my house and you see what it's like, if somebody forgets to put the meat into the chalent and my son opens up that chalent and there's no meat there, oh boy, that's tsar. So, you did your tzar, you didn't have your meat. You don't have to, you know, bag your head into a wall because you're tzar, because you're, because mimatim b'simcha. You have to allow the possibility of tzara, and you did have tzara, you're not eating the meat. So that is your tzara. So no one says you can't eat barley and beans and potatoes that were cooked with the meat. That's reason number one that the Beis Yosef puts forward, that you are permitted to have tashel shabbos, the barley and the potatoes from the challenge. And the second reason you can have the barley and the potatoes and the beans from the challenge, as long as you leave the meat out. V'od, tambina ben darim. Now we're going to look at something from a totally different vantage point, a totally different area of halacha, nothing even to do with Yom Tovim or with a calendar. There's a halacha in Nedarim that says that if somebody makes a neder, hanodim habasar, if somebody makes a neder not to eat meat, is he allowed to have the beans from the challant? So the Gemara in Nedarim says, mutar b'tavshil. So here, if the Chachamim accepted this minhag upon ourselves, what does it mean they accepted a minhag? It means they made sort of a national neder. They made a national neder not to eat meat. Okay. We know what the parameters of a nedarim are. The parameters of a nedarim are such that even if you make a neder to not eat meat, guess what? You're permitted to eat tavshil basar. You see that word? Tavshil. Tavshil again means the food without the meat. The chicken, the soup without the chicken. The meatballs and spaghetti sauce, just leaving out the meatballs. The beans and the potatoes from the chalent without the meat. So he has two reasons why that should be mutter. Okay, so if the Beis Yosef, of course, is the author of the Shulchan Aruch, it's Rav Yosef Karo, so the Beis Yosef is of the opinion that you are permitted for these two reasons, because, hey, you have to do some tzar, you did your tzar, you're leaving out the meat. Or that which we follow, our minhagim, is a sense of a neder. If you make a neder to not eat meat, you're allowed to still go ahead and eat the barley and the beans. So on two counts, it is permitted, and these are two separate reasons to permit the eating of tavshil shabbos, of the barley and the beans and the potatoes. So it's pretty clear that you're allowed to eat the challenge just without the meat. That seems to be the psak of the Beis Yosef, and I expect to see that in the Shulchan Aruch, as we will see in just a moment. Fine, but let's go into another reason, and a totally new suggestion, why you're not allowed to eat meat during the 9 days. If you look at the red on the screen, you'll notice that I bolded it in red to tell you that this is one reason. You can now see the answer, the suggestion of the Rush. The previous one was the Kolbo. The Kolbo had said in the red that you want to minimize simcha. Comes the Rush, Rav Asher, and he says, no, you're missing the boat. Not eating meat during this time of the year has nothing to do with simcha, and has nothing to do with mishnechas avimatim b'simcha, and has nothing to do with ein simcha basar. There's a totally different reason not to eat meat and not to drink wine. You know what the reason is? The reason is because, if you remember, a week ago, I spoke online, I don't know if all of you are in this year, I spoke about a fascinating conversation that happened right after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash between Rabbi Yehoshua and the Prushim. There were a group of Prushim who had decided for themselves that they can't, in a world without the Beis HaMikdash, how could they eat meat when Hashem's table, as if it were, doesn't have its meat, that the Mizbech is empty? How could they drink wine when Hashem's cup, as if it were, is empty of its wine, of the nesachim that accompany the wine that accompany the karbanos? So based on that, of course, we don't follow that all year long, but says the Rush, that we should at least, on this time period, starting from, look what he says, not what you said earlier, let's see what the Rush says, I'm sorry, the reason why people desist and hold back from eating basar v'yayin, note the date, Mishiva Asar B'Tamas, not Rosh Chodeshav. What happened on Shiva Asar B'Tamas? Well, there were five things that happened on Shiva Asar B'Tamas, and one of them is, you guessed it, Batla HaTamid. Shiva Asar B'Tamas is the day that the Karban Tamid was stopped. That was the last day of Karbanos, or the first day that there were no more longer Karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash for the rest of history. And therefore, as a way to commemorate the fact that the Beis HaMikdash doesn't have meat, and the Beis HaMikdash doesn't have yayin, and Hashem doesn't have meat, and Hashem doesn't have his yayin kivayachal, we too hold back from wine and meat, maybe not all year, but at least on the day that it happened that the Korban Tamid was in spot, so that Hashem's meat was taken off his table kivayachal. When was that? From Shiva Asar B'Tamas. What we just did is we just found something absolutely incredible. We just found that there are two minhagim from when this Isra of meat begins. The Kolbo said, from Rosh Chodesh Av. The Rush says, it's from Shiva Asar B'Tamas. And why do they say different dates? Because they are suggesting totally unrelated reasons why there's an Isser to have meat. If you hold this Mishnah Nechlas, well, that's a function of Simcha, guess what? I don't want to have meat because meat is Simcha. And if you hold that the problem has nothing to do with simcha, but rather we don't want to have food that the Beis Hamikdash, you know, we don't want to have meat and wine that the Hashem didn't have. So when will that start? Well, that will start nothing to do with Rosh Chodesh. That will start when the Karban Tamid stopped, which was Shavuot Tamid. That was the day that the Karban Tamid was batel, and Nisachiyah that accompanied it. So what we see here is something absolutely incredible. We see that there are two minhagim and two totally absolutely different reasons why we don't have meat. One is b'simcha, and that's from Tishba, and that's Rosh Chodesh Av, and the other is to commemorate the Mizbeach that's lacking its food, as if it were, and that's from Shavuot Tamid. But if we stop here, what should happen? Something very important should come out according to the Rush. Because according to the Rush, that the reason has nothing to do with simcha, the reason has to do with that there's no karbanos. That means I don't eat meat because this is the meat that could and should have been on the korban, on the mizbeach, but it's not. We don't have a mizbeach anymore. This is the wine that could and should have been used for nisachim, but alas, we don't have those nisachim. If so, what would you say should be the halacha about certain kinds of meat or certain types of wine that are not permitted to be brought on the mizbeach? I'll give you a very simple example. Salted meat, beef jerky. Beef jerky. Does beef jerky make people happy? Oh yeah, it does. Beef jerky makes my kids very happy. You go to Shalom Zachar sometimes, and they have a platter of beef jerky from Gray's on Central Avenue. It costs $95 for that platter, that little platter of beef jerky plate. And people do it all the time. Why do you spend so much money on a platter of a few little bits of beef? The answer is because it makes people happy. That's why. So if that's the case, of course it's going to be us. However, beef jerky is not kosher for the Mizbeach, because salted meat is not kosher for the Mizbeach. If that's the case, if the reason why you can't have meat is because this meat could have been on the Mizbeach, and if it's not on Hashem's table, shouldn't be on my table, well, guess what? Beef jerky can't be on Hashem's table. So it should be permitted to eat beef jerky b'zman hazeh, during this time period. I'll give you another example. Let's say you have wine that has not yet fermented properly, what's called yayin toses. It hasn't reached the full level of fermentation, it's maybe like grape juice, sort of. And it's not kosher for the Mizbeach. Only yayin that had reached its maturity, that has fermented appropriately, is kosher for the Mizbeach. Well, are you allowed to drink that during the 3 weeks, during the 9 days, whatever it is? Well, if the reason is simcha, no. This stuff makes you simcha, makes you happy. But if, however, it has to do with the wine that could have been brought to the Mizbeach, well, this wine cannot be brought on the Mizbeach, and it should theoretically be mutter to drink this kind of wine which we call yayin toses, during this time period. And that's why I wrote here in purple, accordingly. If we assume that everything depends on the fact that the reason why we're not eating meat, if we assume the reason why we're not eating meat is related to the fact that the Mizbeach doesn't have it, so if it's not roy for the Mizbeach, then it should be mutter, like basar meluach and yayin toses.
You are listening to BensTorah.com.
And if you follow what I just said, you can appreciate the next line. The Beis Yossi says, "Midivri HaMordechai Nira, Shanoa Gib Isim Yosh Chodesh." Well, let's leave that out. Okay, let's go straight to the Shulchan Aruch now. The Shulchan Aruch is going to paskin. What? He's going to paskin a few things. He's going to paskin, when should we stop eating meat? Should it be from Rosh Chodesh Av, or should it be from the Shavuot Sabbatamas? He's going to paskin whether I could eat beef jerky and this yayin toses. And from that, I hope that we should be able to deduce what he holds, what the Shulchan Aruch holds, is the main reason for not eating meat during this time period. Not because he's going to say it explicitly, he's not going to give us reasons, but based on how he paskins, we'll be able to deduce what he's thinking. So let's look to see how the Shulchan Aruch paskins. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Yesh Misha Omer, you're allowed to eat the potatoes, the beans, the barley from the challant. You're allowed to have the soup from the chicken soup. Just don't eat the chicken pieces. That's the first sign of the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, that's important to know, because that's the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. Right? You remember I told you that, and you were very surprised to hear. Guess what? It's the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. Let's go to the next point. It says the rules of the Shulchan Aruch, v'asurim, look what I underlined, v'asurim, the basar of. Okay, that's interesting. Basar of, we never really discussed this evening. But that's still asur. You know what else is asr? Ubasr maluach, salted meat is asr. V'yayin toseis, and this unready wine, this non-fermented wine is also asr. Let's think for a second. Let's just see, what does the word toseis mean? What is this yayin toseis? Yayin toseis is 3-day-old wine, wine within the first 3 days. After you trample wine, right? You know, like in the older days, they used to take off their shoes. We actually went to a place near Kibbutz Shalvim in Eretz Yisrael where they allowed you to make wine the original way, and they took a bunch of grapes and they put it in a little concrete ditch, and everybody took off their shoes and their socks, and I think they washed their feet first. I think that a hose to wash your feet, and we stamped on it, and I joined my kids. I think I did, maybe I didn't, but my kids definitely did. And then they stamped on the grapes, some juice came out. They caught it in a little vat, they put it into a bottle, they gave it to you, and then they said something very funny. They said, please boil it before you, when you get home. Please make sure you boil this because dirty feet stamped on it. So that was just a funny thing that the Madrich told us before we left that very exciting activity. So Toseis, Yayin Toseis, Gimel Yamin L'Drisa, so it's within the first 3 days of it being trampled. It's still sweet, still grape juice. Ve'enu Chazak, and it's not yet fermented, it doesn't have the alcoholic kick. And therefore it is Pasul Gami B'Mizbeach. That's what Yayin Toseis is. So too, with basar maluach, with the salted meat, like right, beef jerky, it's also preserved, right? You can leave beef jerky out of the fridge. Why? Because it's salted, it's preserved. Dry, I don't know if dried out or salted, I'm not sure which one does the trick. So let's think for a second. If the Shulchan Aruch is telling you that you're not allowed to have beef jerky, and you're not allowed to have yayin toseis, that means it's asur, even though these weren't on the Beis HaMikdash. It must be, if I ask you, which opinion was the Shulchan Aruch following? You remember we had two opinions? One opinion said that the reason why you shouldn't have meat is because meat makes you happy. The other reason said you shouldn't have meat because there's no Beis HaMikdash anymore. But if the Shulchan Aruch is now paskening that even beef jerky, which doesn't go on the Mizbech, is Aser, and even Yayin Toseis, which also cannot be put on the Mizbech, is Aser, it must be that the Shulchan Aruch holds that it has nothing to do with the Mizbech, but rather it has to do with the answer of the Kolbo. That the reason why you can't eat meat is because it brings happiness, and beef jerky brings happiness. And wine that's fully fermented wine also brings a certain measure of happiness. So we see that the Shulchan Aruch seems to be passing like the Kolbo. That's something fascinating that comes out from the Shulchan Aruch. Yes, somebody had a question.
Yeah, not to necessarily compare, but don't we say regarding, let's say, something like Yom Tov, that you should specifically have some wine that's alcoholic because that's part of the Simcha? So why, how does that fit in over here with the grape juice, which is not really going to have the simcha that...
Good question. That's a great question. I don't have a great answer for you. It's a good question.
Thank you.
You are listening to BenStore.com.
So I just suggested that since the Shulchan Aruch said that it's usher to have meat even though it's salted... It sounds like from that Shulchan Aruch that it's that the reason for not eating meat during this time period is because of simcha, and since it's because of simcha, so anything that gives you simcha, like any meat, even salted meat, will be off limits, will be aser. But if you look at the Gra on this line of the Shulchan Aruch, he takes the punch out of my presentation. You know why? The Gra says something interesting. The Gra says that, you know what, salted meat and yayin toseis, that the Shulchan Aruch says it's aser, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't really mean it's aser. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't really mean that it's aser because it causes simcha. You're allowed to have salted meat. Even on Erev Tisha B'Av you could have salted meat. Even on Erev Tisha B'Av, when it's aser, not just as a minhag, but as aser as medina, to not have meat, you're allowed to have salted meat. You know why? You know why the Shulchan Aruch says you can't have salted meat? Not because of the way Uri Orlian said that the Shulchan Aruch holds, like the kolbo, that it causes anything that causes simcha is off limits, but rather, There's a minhag, even though the reason may be otherwise. Maybe the reason has to do with the mizbeach, maybe it has to do with simcha, maybe this, maybe that. But there were no hig to not eat any kind of meat. So you can't make any limudim, any drushes, and you can't try to figure out reasonings and rationales from the Shulchan Aruch who said you're not allowed to eat this kind of meat to show what he holds about the nature of this takana. All you see is that the minhag was to not eat any meat. That's what the Gra says. So we can't really prove anything from the Shulchan Aruch. We come out with the conclusion that you're not allowed to eat meat, any meat, because that's a minhag, not to eat any meat, without getting into the details of why this meat or that meat. Meat is off limits, period. Okay. But one thing that the Shulchan Aruch did say is a tremendous kula. The Shulchan Aruch did paskin that it is mutter to eat the beans, the barley, the potatoes from a chalent. The Shulchan Aruch told us it is mutter to have the soup from the chicken soup, as long as you don't have the meat in it, as long as you don't have the chicken in the soup. Have you ever met somebody during the 9 days who eats chicken soup without the chicken in it? I haven't. And you know why? Because of the following Magen Avraham. Comes the Magen Avraham, the commentary from the early 1600s, the commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, and he says, that which the Shulchan Aruch said, with tar v'tavshu, you're allowed to have a tavshul shabbos, which means you're allowed to have the food of the, that was cooked with the meat, just not the meat of it. Ha'idna, nowadays, nahigi alma lesar, af v'tavshul shabbosar. Even though the Shulchan Aruch said, you're allowed to have the barley, and the potatoes, and the beans. Ha'idna, nowadays, nahigi alma, the minhag olam is that we don't allow the potatoes, and the barley, and the beans. And that's what the minhag is. Okay, so we lost everything. We were so excited. We had a few reasons. If you remember, the Beis Yosef gave us 2 reasons why it should be permitted. Let me just fix my screen, sorry. The Beis Yosef gives us 2 separate reasons why you should be permitted to have the barley and the potatoes and the beans. One was, hey, you have to be mitzvah yourself a little bit, and you are by doing so, by not eating the meat. And the other reason was that it's a neder, and a neder, when you make a neder, we don't assume that the meat is part of the neder. We don't assume that the barley is part of the neder, just the meat. If you say, I'm not going to eat meat, you mean meat, but you'll eat the potatoes and the barley and the beans. So 2 good reasons why it should be permitted to have the meat, the barley, and the potatoes. And nevertheless, the Magen Avraham says, sorry, the minhag is not to be lenient in that. And therefore, halacha l'maaseh, we do not allow potatoes, barley, and beans, nor do we allow the soup from the chicken soup. Okay? Now, what about the following? And I am sure that I'm going to get this shaila. And when I get this shaila, what I would like to do is I would like to tell them, you know what? I gave shiur on this. Please call Heshy Kapel, and he'll answer this. He'll answer your question. Please call Mr. Davies or Dr. Pinter, and he'll answer your shaila, because he was at the shiur. The shaila is going to be like this. Some lady's going to call me up in a week, and she's going to say like this. She's going to say, oh my gosh, Rabbi Orlean, I was making dinner for my family, and I cooked some green beans, I cooked some noodles, and I totally forgot. I used my fleshka pot. Am I allowed to eat it during the 9 days? That's going to be the question. So what are we going to tell her? So look what the Prima Gadim says. The Prima Gadim says that, the Prima Gadim is a commentary on the Magen Avraham, which is a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch. So it's 2 steps removed. It's not a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, it's a commentary on the Magen Avraham, which is a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch. So the Prima Gadim, in his commentary on the Magen Avraham, when the Magen Avraham said that the minhag is not to allow the chicken, I'm sorry, not to allow the soup from the chicken soup, and not to allow the potatoes and barley and beans from the chalent, the Prima Gadim says, how that's only the barley and the beans and the potatoes. But the pot, avanus bashel, b'kedera shel basar, ben yomo, even if the pot was used with meat within the past day. For example, let's say during the middle of the 9 days, like this year, you have a Shabbos. And Sunday afternoon, you have a chalent in a pot on Shabbos lunch. And Sunday morning, you're cooking up some noodles. The pot has been used with meat in the past 24 hours. That means there is, according to halachic eyeglasses, there is a flavor of meat in the walls of this pot. And now you're cooking your noodles in it. You're cooking your green beans in this pot. Guess what? Even if it's ben yom vaday, less mechush, there's nothing to be concerned of, vishari, and it is permitted. So therefore, the Prima Gadim comes with a very important kula, that the prohibition of meat is extended. Yes, we extended it as a minhag to extend even to tavshil shel basar, even to the beans and the potatoes, even to the soup, the broth. Yes, we will extend it, but only to the food items, not to the pot itself. So interestingly enough, if I have a chicken soup, I'm not allowed to eat the chicken, of course, but I'm not allowed to eat the soup, the broth, but the pot I could use 5 minutes later and boil up whatever I want to do, whatever I want to eat on during the 9 days. That was mutar l'chatchila, to use that pot. That's an important thing to know. And therefore, when we come to the 9 days, just keep in mind you will be permitted to use that fleish kapat. That's 1 point. Now, something that's not going to really come up, but it's nice to know this, that the shayla is a geshmak shayla. What happens if you have a pot of, let's say you have a pot of noodles during the 9 days, or you have some, let's say noodles, or let's say you have even milk, a dish that you're cooking on 9 days. And guess what fell in during the 9 days? A little bit of meat. So we know when it comes to basa b'chalav, there's a heter of bitul b'shishim, of course. But let's not get into basa b'chalav. Let's just talk about, I have a bowl of noodles, and a little bit of meat falls into this bowl of noodles. Let me not say a bowl of noodles. Let me say a pot of noodles that's boiling up, because there are halachas of bitul b'shishim. This is not the forum for that. Let's say you have a pot of noodles that are boiling up, and a little bit of meat falls into that pot. Well, says the Prima Gadim, totally mutter. Pshita d'shari. And you know what? He says, not if it's bitul b'shishim, af she'ein shishim. Wow. Even if you don't have 60, as long as you can't really tell the taste. Kol she'kfeili Yisrael tomei v'ein tam basar shari. As long as somebody would taste and they wouldn't be able to detect the meat flavor, that food would be permitted. And you know what? You're even allowed to taste it. So that means if during the 9 days you're cooking something, and for whatever reason some meat falls in, you could taste your dish and see if it tastes meaty. If it tastes meaty, then don't eat it. If it doesn't taste meaty, and you're allowed to check, you're allowed to taste it to check. If it doesn't taste meaty, even though you don't have shishim, you're still permitted to eat that dish without a problem. Okay. Now, while we're going through these details of eating meat, let's talk about somebody who has a hard time, eating milchiks. Some people are lactose intolerant, and fish doesn't agree with their stomachs, so they don't have some, you know, they don't have so many options. I know some people that, you know, dinner every single night is chicken. Literally, 7 nights a week, dinner every night is chicken, except when it's steak. So see, the chicken or steak, and that's just their diet for, you know, the past 50 years. I know somebody like that. They milk doesn't work in their systems, and fish, you know, it's a poor excuse for, yeah, I don't know what. But so such a person, what is he going to do? Do they have to be makpid to just eat noodles, just eat fish? So says the Magen Avraham, an important kula. If somebody is lactose intolerant, for example, and can't eat dairy, yochal b'sar of, that person could eat chicken. Why? Oh, now you remember we talked about different reasons why we don't eat meat? Is it because of simcha, or is it because of the karbanos? Well, guess what? Chicken was never a karban. Shaloha yu makriven, we meant a karban. Now, I know that there are karbanos of tziporim, right? The Metzora has to bring a karban, a bird, an oaf, l'chatas, and a bird, l'asham, and some other people have to bring, and I think a yoledes has to bring birds. I don't know the details, but the Magen Avraham says there was no karban of birds. I guess it wasn't put on the Mizbech. I'm not sure exactly what the details are. That's the first reason. A second reason, you know why else? If you're lactose intolerant, you're allowed to eat chicken? Because when we say in basar, in simcha el b'basar, that doesn't mean chicken. On yontif, you shouldn't have chicken, you should have fleish, you should have meat, because the real simcha is meat. Megam, in simcha, el b'basar behema. So you see, the Magen Avraham is giving you two reasons for somebody who's lactose intolerant to, yes, be permitted to eat chicken. What are the two reasons? They parallel the two reasons that we saw all the way, where am I? Yeah, the two reasons that we saw of why you're not allowed to eat meat in general. If it's because of simcha, well, simcha only applies to meat from an animal, not for chicken. And if the reason is that we don't have karbanos anymore, well, guess what? Birds weren't really brought, chicken wasn't really brought on the Mizbeach. And therefore, for those two reasons, which are the two reasons why meat is aser, well, neither of those prohibitions, neither of those svaras apply by chicken. And therefore, if somebody's lactose intolerant and doesn't eat milchiks, it is permitted for them, l'chatrila, to have chicken. Now, between you and me, I have to be honest. We live in a community where there's such a plethora of eating options. If you tell me that somebody, you know, is lactose intolerant and they have to eat chicken, I would tell you, like, okay, they're lactose intolerant, so they could get sushi, they could get tofu burgers, they could get, you know, they could have so many different things. They could have, you know, tuna steak, they could have salmon, we have so many different things. They could have blintzes, not cheese blintzes. They could have so many different things. Like, I don't know why you have to be mekel, but mekel hadin, if somebody's lactose intolerant, the Magen Avraham does permit them to eat chicken. It is permitted, mikra hadin. Again, I don't think, I wouldn't tell somebody to do it because there's so many options in our, the conveniences and the luxury, the type of lifestyle that we live in, but mikra hadin, it is permitted. Another important leniency that a lot of people don't realize is halakha l'maisa very much. Let's talk about wine for a minute. Mutar lishtos yayin v'havdala u'birkas hamazon. The Shulchan Aruch says explicitly that for Havdalah, one is permitted to drink wine. Now, the Rama says, as we'll see in a minute, I don't know if I'm going to go into this too much because time is late. The minhag is not to drink wine for Birchas HaMazon nor b'Havdalah. Rather, we give to a child. But if there's no child, if you're in a household where there's no child there, yes, what I paskin, this is what I tell people. If I tell people better, you make Havdalah yourself, don't make Havdalah on beer. I know a lot of people have a minhag from their Zayda to make Havdalah on beer on one night a year, on the night of, the Motzei Shabbos during the 9 days. It seems from the Ramah that the better solution, again, I know that that's people's minhag, and I'm not telling you to change your minhag, but it does seem from the halacha that it is better to drink the wine on to make the Havdalah yourself. If you could give it to a kid, that's great. But if there's no kid to give it to, you make Havdalah on wine and drink the wine during the 9 days. Why is that? So the Mishnah Berurah explains very simply. You remember this whole thing is a minhag? This whole thing not to drink wine or eat meat during this time period is a minhag? Guess what? The minhag was regarding regular meat and regular wine. But mitzvah wine, like wine at Havdalah, they never made a minhag to not drink wine. To Behai Gavna for Havdalah, lo kibu alayhu. They never accepted upon themselves not to drink wine. As opposed to Kamala and Yisharas with this mitzvah. In the same way that when they made this minhag, they said they didn't make this minhag for siyums, like when you have a suddas mitzvah like a siyum, or a bris during the 9 days when you're allowed to have meat and wine. So similarly, they didn't make the siyum, just like they permitted, or the minhag allowed, eating meat and wine during a bris, during a siyum, so too for Havdalah. And that is the psak of the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah. Okay, so I think we'll stop here. Just if there are a few more halachas that relate to a siyum, I'll just list them off quickly because they're really just one or two points. The Magen Avram, when he says that you'll have to make, when the Shulchan Aruch says you'll have to make a siyum, just make two or three points and then we'll be done for the evening. But when the Shulchan Aruch says you'll have to make a siyum and eat meat because of your siyum, so Magen Avram says a siyum does not just mean a siyum of a mesechta. A siyum could also be a gemar mitzvah. Some of you might remember we have some shiurim on the halachas of a siyum, what is a siyum, and we learned from a gemara in Bava Basra that the concept of a siyum is not just by learning Torah. Any mitzvah that is that when they finished cutting all the wood for the mizbeach, they had a special day called Tu B'Av. What's the celebration of Tu B'Av? Says the Rashbam, the celebration is, it was a siyum, not a siyum of learning Torah, but a siyum of, they finished the elongated mitzvah. The mitzvah took many days to do of cutting the wood for the mizbeach, and therefore, Avosa, if you have a mitzvah that took a long time to fulfill, let's say you wrote a Sefer Torah, you yourself wrote a Sefer Torah. It sounds like the Hanas of the Sefer Torah that celebrates your finishing of the Sefer Torah should be able to be mutter. You could probably have meat on the 9 days. Or whatever other mitzvah takes a long time for you to fulfill, that should be mutter to have meat at such a meal. That's also just like halacha nasiyam. That's one halacha. Another point that the Magen Avraham says, you're not supposed to have too many people at a siyam. Look at what he says. If you go to a siyum just because you want to eat the meat, not because you want to celebrate, not because you want to, you're friends with the person, but you just want to go to eat the meat, so you go to the siyum, ahochem lishtos averu biyadam. If you're going just to eat the meat, just to drink the wine, that's an avera. If you're going to celebrate with the person, you're going because you're friendly with the person, you connect with the person who's Messiah, or the community that's been Messiah, that's wonderful. But if you're going just to eat the meat, that's not so appropriate. I think I've told the story that Rav Asher Arieli, my Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael on the Mir, was once asked, and Rav Asher Arieli is known to be somebody who shuns luxury. He is absolutely, I will finish with this story, he's somebody who absolutely wants to live a life of simplicity without luxury. In fact, years ago, the Talmidim wanted to get him a Chanukah present, and they didn't know which Sfarim he wanted, so they asked the Rebbetzin, let's get something that the Rebbetzin will appreciate, and maybe then the Rav Asher will be, the Rebbe will be happy because the Rebbetzin's happy. So they tried to figure out what the Rebbetzin would need, and they realized that the Rav Asher Arieli doesn't have a dryer. He has a washing machine, he doesn't have a dryer, just a few years ago. And so they didn't ask anybody, they didn't ask the Rebbetzin, they didn't ask the Rev, and they ordered a dryer. The dryer people delivered the dryer, and Rav Asher, I guess, is home at the time of the delivery. He said, what is this? That's a dryer. It was a gift to you. He said, absolutely not. And they said, what are you talking about? The Talmidim were there to facilitate this happening. And he said, absolutely not. And they said, but Rebbe, we'll make it easier for your wife. It'll be easier. He said, when I got married with my wife, we agreed one with another, they will not live a life of luxury. I don't want to have a dryer. That was Rav Asher Arieli. That's interesting that he says that. I don't think there's anybody on this call who thinks that a dryer is considered a luxury. But okay, that's the first lesson. Okay, so they once asked him a few years ago, one of his talmidim or somebody just wanted to cause trouble came to Rav Asher, now that you know who Rav Asher is, and said, Rav Asher, I heard that there's a restaurant in Yerushalayim that schedules a siyum every 30 minutes. That means if you want to go out to a restaurant during the 9 days, don't worry, just come to us, and every 30 minutes we will have a siyum for you. And you'll be able to order your steaks, you'll be able to order your burgers, you'll be able to order your chicken, your grilled chicken. What do you think about that? And they're waiting for him to say, it's terrible because you understand who he is. I said, wow, isn't it beautiful that Jews make so many siyum? What a beautiful idea of how to look at people and how to judge situations. And, you know, you could say, I don't want to live a life of luxury. I'm not willing to take a dryer into my house. But when you look at other people, isn't it beautiful that people make siyum? You don't judge people. You don't look down on people. Everybody else, you look at the beauty in others. So that should be the lesson that we take for ourselves when we focus, you know, remember that eating, making, you know, not eating meat and not drinking wine is, yes, the halachas that we follow. But let's not lose the forest for the trees. Let's not focus on the externals and the meat and the wine and forget about the reason why we're in Galus. We're in Galus because of our lack of Avas Chinam, and hopefully we should be able to generate more and more Avas Chinam among ourselves. We should be zocha to be able to have meat, be able to have wine, and not just any meat, not just any wine, but have meat on the Mizbeach, have the wine on the Mizbeach, and we'll be able to Be'ez Hashem celebrate together on Tisha B'Av Haba Aleinu L'Tova.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.